Good evening. We're in the study of Acts. We started off with Christ was spending about 40 days after his death with the apostles and the disciples, and they saw him go up and ascend to heaven and went into a cloud and went up into heaven. And there was two men there, and we said that they were probably angels, messengers from God. They spoke to him about Jesus shall be, while you're glazing up, because he will come back in the like manner. And this was great hope for them, and also is going to be a great hope for us. We're talking about Judas. Let's go back and read verses 15 to 20 again. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120. And said, "Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language a Keldama, that is, field of blood." Verse 20, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office." And we were talking about Judas. There's some things that have been brought out about Judas that we look at. He said Judas was what became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. Remember we read about that he came up with a multitude and he kissed Jesus. That was a single there, that this is the one. So he said that he was the one now that is basically turned in and said, "This is Jesus. This is who you're looking for." And then they also talk about he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Means he was numbered with us. He was numbered with the apostles. And he was part of the ministry of the apostles. He was an apostle there. But he was the one that betrayed our Lord. And then we also see that now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity. As we also read in Sunday, that he went back and said he didn't want the 30 pieces of silver. That's what he got for betraying Jesus. And he said, "I don't want this because this is innocent blood here." And so he threw the money down and he went out and hanged himself. And so what they did, they said, "We can't turn this money back into treasure because this is blood money." And so they went and bought a field. And that's what they were going to use there, called this field of bloods, or to help, or to bury strangers in. And then the last part it says, falling headlong, meaning he went down head first, he burst open in the middle and his entrails gushed out. So Luke here, in this parenthesis, as Luke is giving us a little bit more information. Now, Peter was talking up starting verse 16 there, but Peter come in, Luke came in and started giving some information about Judas here. A little bit more detail what's going on with Judas and his betrayal and what he did to the Lord and Savior. And basically that's about where we left off. Now, somebody got a question?
So that's the process of time is what allowed his body to be
Yeah. That may be a possibility. I know there's another ones too that he was hanging up there and they cut him, his rope, and he fell headlong first and then hit some rocks or something like that. There's a couple other things too, but those are just as possible that way. Like I said, if they just left him hanging there with that, that's pretty well sure. I don't know. It doesn't say. All we do know that he did go down head first, and his entrails, he opened up in the middle, and entrails came out. That's according to Luke with there, and I would think Luke would be an eyewitness here, will tell you the way it is. Now, how it came about, I really can't tell. Like I said, you can tell that this part here is written by Luke, the physician, and he basically gives when Peter started his message here, and he kind of interrupts it there and put this parenthesis just to give us a little bit more information. And being the doctor that he is, he gives you some information that maybe you want to know, or maybe you don't want to know. But this is what happened to him, basically. But now, if you take verse 18 and 19 out, you have the reading here where Peter starts out and says, "Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus, for he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Says, for it is written in the book of Psalms 69:25, these two lines, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it. And Psalms 109:25 is the last part, let another take his office. Now, if you go back and look at Psalms, this is apparently where David is writing about his enemies. And when he talks about in Psalms, actually it's in the plural sense. And now when Peter comes here, he puts it in the singular sense. So he says is referring to Judas here in this act. But in the Psalms, it's David's doing a writing, and he's talking about his enemies, okay? What do you think the meaning here of this scripture here, talking about, put it forward to Judas? Anybody got it? Everybody want to jump in? How do these verses here, 20, relate to Judas? But, well, okay, then tell me what it means then. Would that help you out a little bit better? Well, the Holy Spirit wrote it in 69. Sometimes it was referring to David and his enemies. However, Peter says here that he is using this Psalms here to talk about Judas. Now, what did we just say about Judas? What do you know more about Judas? Let me go back a second. All right. What flaw did he have that you can see?
He liked money.
Greed. Because what did he sell Jesus out for? Money. 30 pieces of silver. Now, here is one of the apostles that let temptation get a hold of him and take him. That's what he's talking about. He says, let his dwelling place. When he talks about here in Psalm 69, what David's referring to, if you look at the context, it seems like he's asking the Lord, says, now, have divine or justice, mercy, not mercy, but judgment upon my enemies. Cut them off, make them be blessed like they're no longer here. And that's basically what Peter is talking about here also. But he's talking about not David's enemy, but he's referring to here what Judas had done to the Lord. And that's what he's talking about here and what we just talked about. What he did, he was a guide to arresting Jesus. He had the multitude come in and turn. He already had it planned out that he was going to go in and turn him in for 30 pieces of silver. And then he comes on and says that, well, he's talking about men and brethren. This scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke by the mouth of David concerning Judas. And he's using this application, this verses applied to Judas here because it's the same principle that with David. Asking for justice and mercy, not just mercy, but justice and divine judgment upon the enemy of the Lord Savior. And that the one we're talking about is Judas, what he did. And he says, let his dwelling place be desolate and let no one live in it. In other words, let him should have been cut off, just like David's enemy, and let them be no more. Put your judgment on it. Now, look at the difference between Judas here and Peter. What did Peter do on the night? Yeah, betrayed him how many times? Three times. Was he remorseful about it? But what he did, he wept about it. Now, look at Peter here compared to what Judas did with it. There's a big contrast between the two. How you handle your temptations and when you fall into it. Larry?
Doug said years ago that what we see here is a difference in godly sorrow and feeling sorry for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Peter exhibited one, Judas showed the other.
Yeah. He didn't want the 30 pieces of silver. He said he just took it out. He said that he came back to him and says, look, this man, this is innocent blood, what I've done. And he threw it down in front of him and he says, We can't put that because that is blood money. We can't put that back in the treasure. And so he went out and hung himself. Where Peter did the opposite. He repented of it and asked. Big difference between the two. Now look where Peter is at right now, and he's coming on and telling now what Judas had done, he got what his justice should have been. Then in the last part, he combines it in with Psalms 109, let another take his office. Because like he said beforehand, excuse me, he was a part of the number, and he was a part of the ministry. And now we have to have someone to take his place. He continues on and says, verse 21 now, let's finish out the chapter. Are we pretty?
Mm-hmm.
Facts.
In Mark 14 and also
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Says, well, he'll deny me three times, and he did by the time the evening was over. Whereas Judas went out and devised this whole evil plan on his own and started the
wheel rolling. Yeah, it was his characteristic, because you look at all the other example, you look at where they had the precious ointment. He said, we could have sold that. Put that in, you know, for poor. And then you look at him, and his shortcomings is, it seems always about money.
You know, the parallel, too, between the Psalms. When you see David write so harshly about his enemies or the enemies of God, he talks about the enemies of God being his enemies. You know, he's always talking about that kind of thing. He's talking about those who would do brutal things and bad things and harsh things against him or against the will of God. And so he lashes out. He says,
you get a little bit of context, and sometimes when you read David about that, when he talks about his enemies, it's emphasizing basically they're enemies of God, because I'm your servant. You know, they're after me, your servant, and everything like that. And so basically, Lord, they are your enemies also. That's the reason I'm begging you and asking you for your divine judgment upon them. And basically, he's trying to tell the Lord, just wipe them off this earth, is what he's asking. Yeah, Doug.
Basically, that is what a physical
eye. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
The Almighty God of Israel. He, brethren, if you're letting him do it, you know, he had a righteous indignation.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so that was his attitude, his whole life. You know,
yes.
Any enemy of God is an enemy of mine.
That's right. That's a very good point with that. All right, anything else before we get on? I have spoke all day today, and I had my voice, and it was fine until I get here tonight. I'm sorry. Verse 21, therefore, of these men who have accompanied us, all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us in, of his resurrection. And they proposed to Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias, and they prayed and said, you, O Lord, who knows the heart of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, when he was numbered with the 11 apostles. All right, he says, we need to replace someone here now. Take Judas's place. And he gives some interpretations here. He says, therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. All right, we need somebody that's been with the Lord during all this period of time. And he begins in verse 22, to tell what in and out among us means. He says, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us. That period of time. One of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. Okay? Here's to replace Judas. We need somebody that has to have some qualifications here. And basically he's telling you, he's going to have to be with us or accompany us all during this period of time. With it, he said, from the start, from about the baptism of John until the resurrection, and he became a witness of the resurrection. Now, you know that Jesus was among them for 40 days after he rose from the dead, and he was among the 11 and also other disciples and 500 at a time. So he said, here's the qualification. It's got to be one of these disciples that has been with us mainly from the very beginning and seen the witness of him resurrection. And so they put out two names there with it. Now, who chose these two? Who?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had two. They come up, and then it says, in verse 24, and they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen." Now, why do you think that's an important statement right there? Do what?
You have, as in past tense, chose who you already have done this and who you approve of them by what authority, so that they're not just guessing.
Yeah. You who know the hearts of all. Did they know the hearts of Judas? Lord, we don't want to make that same mistake. You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen. And that is not up to us. What it is, for them to take part in this mystery and apostleship from which Judas by treacherous fell, that he might go to his own place. What do you think he means by there, he might go to his own place? Peter. Talking about.
Where he deserved to go.
That's right.
We might say to his just deserves.
Mm-hmm.
What he deserved.
It's his actions that has spoke for him where he is going to be. Linda?
But you used the word the apostles didn't want to make the same mistake. But you can't look at it that way. It's my thing. You might regret the fact that Jesus betrayed him. When Jesus
Yes, he did.
But his heart was overcome by his grief.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
Yeah, in Luke 22, to go along with what they're saying, in verse 22, it says, "And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined before that man by whom he is betrayed." That was part of that conversation where Jesus said, "The prayers are at the table, and he's going to go do this." His last thing was, "But the Son of Man does what he's
right. He had a choice to choose that was right and that was which was evil. And that's the reason we've been talking about. You look at his character throughout. He gave you little clues where his heart was mainly at throughout this thing. But now, how was he at the beginning? I don't know, but I'm assuming that the Lord picked him, that his heart was right with it, and that he was led astray by the devil, pure and simple. And it can show you what can happen. Go ahead. Yes, he was. It just shows you here, though, people don't give up the idea that you cannot go off. There's an apostle that turned his back to God. And look at his choice he's made. And it's the very reason why he's talking about that he might go to his own place. He knew where the place was going to be. Facts. Mm-hmm.
And it worked out for time, but when you outgrew his need for God,
when he thought he outgrew his need.
And you point out by those very words, you know, all of them, like, he just had ownership.
Okay.
And Jesus took upon himself God's judgment.
Do what?
I said Jesus took upon himself God's judgment because he judged himself, hanged himself. It was for God to judge him. He could have repented every bit as much as Peter did. What he did was no worse than what Judas did was no worse than what Peter did. But God forgave Peter. So Judas couldn't have been forgiven.
Well, it basically returns back to their hearts. Their heart can become kind of a stone-like. And in verse 26, and they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Okay? So we have 12 apostles now at the end of Acts 1. Anything else on Acts 1? Larry?
A simple point, that is, something very important is occurring in this passage. Really important, you have 11 apostles sitting there. When something important is occurring, what do they do? They turn to God in prayer. That's an example for us. Mm-hmm. There is something in our lives that we need to keep turning to God in prayer. And I think in tonight, and in particular in Doug's prayer that he led before class, we've heard about prayer being effective. And, you know, the prayers that have been offered for him, for instance, something important. Turn to God for prayer.
Very good. True. Very much so. Anybody else? All right. I made a boo-boo. Well, let's see here just a second. Acts 2. As soon as I find what I did with it. All right. Acts chapter 2, first four verses, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of afar, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay. Now we're coming to that great, glorious day, the one that's been promised to them. The day when they're going to be baptized into the apostles are going to be baptized into the Holy Spirit. And which the Father had promised, Jesus said that the Lord will give you a comforter and a helper. And that day came upon the day of the Pentecost. What do you know about the day of Pentecost? What's Pentecost? Say what?
One of the feasts that they were supposed to celebrate. And it occurred 50 days after Passover.
All right.
So that's why a lot of people were still there.
You read my notes, didn't you? No. The word Pentecost is a Greek word signifying the 50th part of a thing, or the 50th in order. The word came to be referring to one of the feasts of the Jews. This feast had several other names. It was called the Feast of Weeks, and that was called because of the 7 weeks that intervened between it and the Passover. So this is the one after the Passover, 50 days, which is found in Exodus and Deuteronomy. Because the wheat harvest occurred in that 50-day interval between Passover and Pentecost, it was all called the Feast of Harvest. And on account of the offering procured to it, it was also called the Feast of the First Fruits of the First Harvest, which is in Leviticus number 20 and 28. So when the day of Pentecost had fully come, we're talking about the 50 days. Remember, the Lord was there 4 days, and he says, in a few days and many days that you shall have, the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit shall come. And it now, this is the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place. Now, who's the day? Okay.
If you go back to Leviticus 23:15-16, it says, you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath,
yeah,
from the day that you brought the sheep of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath, you shall number 50 days. So the first day of the week.
That's right.
It was number 7 Sabbaths, Passover, plus one day was on the first day.
I was getting into that, but that's fine. I was getting into that later on, but that's fine. I think
yeah.
You didn't know that.
No.
No. But I'm getting to the day, but later on. Whatever, doesn't make any difference anyway. Which, come on, when I get to the end of this, but because this is the day the church begins. So when would that would be? On a Sunday. Now, there's some conflicts about that. They're saying that's a Sabbath or something like that. But I'm with you. When you read that, go to the 23rd, it's tomorrow after, and if Sabbath is that, 1 day, that's the first day of the week. So this is the first day of the week. This is a Sunday. This is not Sabbath. This is Sunday. 50 days. Because it's 7 weeks before 9. But who's the day? This will be my last thing. What?
The 12.
The 12. All right. No. All right. Verse 26, and they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Numbered with the 11 apostles. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they, that's a pronoun. It goes back to the preceding noun, which is the 11 apostles. It's not the 120. And then also, how many were speaking in tongues? The apostles only. Not all of them. So, they is the 11 apostles. Actually, 12 apostles, because you got one more. Right?
Oops.
Where the promise to come to, in verse 5, yes, the promise of is to the apostles, and not to the disciples, but to the apostles. And that's what he's talking about. Not only that, but if you look at back 4, he's always talking to the apostles about the promise of the comforter and the helper. That's the promise, is to them. Okay.
The chapter
right
there is
what
caused that.
I know.
And it wasn't that way originally. It just, it was added for convenience. But it was the narrative kept reading. The next paragraph refers right back to the previous sentence, as you said. So it's a chapter break that caused that confusion.
Someone will begin. Who's teaching?